Well, good evening, everybody. My name is David Litt. I'm in charge of sales and marketing for Purium, and it is a very fun job to have for several reasons. Almost $100,000. So our business is doing great because people keep sharing our products and our program. But more importantly, why I'm so excited to be in charge of sales and marketing for this company is we're helping so many people, stay healthier, get healthier, live a cleaner, better, healthier life. The person who's in charge of that, the person who's brought these products together, the person who has the philosophy, who's been the student first and now the teacher for all of us, is the author of the Green Foods Bible. He's our owner. He's our founder. And tonight's subject is a really important and special subject. So I hope you've got your pen and paper out. Dave's going to be talking about staying safe, surviving in the age of viruses so that you can keep your immunity level up, and that you can help your family and yourself stay safe. So I'm going to turn it all over to David Sandoval, our owner and founder.
Excellent. David, could you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Good, good. Well, it is, you know, it's a really important call tonight because I have been getting dozens and dozens of calls and inquiries. And I think that knowledge really has to rule. I think educated people are the least afraid in the whole world. If you're educated, the more educated you are, then the less fear you're going to have of the unknown. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to try to give you an amazing education, I hope. Things that you may have known, things you may not have known. But I want to, you know, first of all, let you know that we all originally said, you know, surviving in the age of Ebola, but it's not really that. It's the age of emerging viruses. The first thing I want to say is I am not here to tell you that a Purium product is going to cure or stop you from any of these, because that is not allowed. It's not allowed by law, and it's not something that we intend to do at all. But what I am going to do is I'm going to teach you so much about viruses and how to understand, protect, defend, you know, yourself against them, that I think that it's going to put you way ahead of the average bear. And I'm definitely going to tell you about, of course, some Purium products that I personally use to help modulate my immunity and to keep my body optimally strong. Because if you build a high fence, then it's hard to jump it. And so I've got some people maybe on the moderator line. If I could ask you to hit mute on your personal phones, that would be good because I'm getting some background noise. But build that high fence. We told a story about being a fence builder. And we have some products that give your body a really good fighting chance to survive in the world as it is today. But let's do a little history. You know, we know that in history there were a few real big problems like typhoid fever, the plague. And this was the Black Death. And this was something that, you know, everybody remembers. But, you know, other than just two or three of these in history, before there was strong medical practices like we have today, in other words, such sophisticated capabilities, there are really just a few. In fact, until just 50 or 60 years ago, the flu was the main killer annually. It was the main killer from the virus world. We're going to talk about viruses specifically right now. From the virus world, the flu has killed about 30,000 people on average over the last decade, and some years it has killed more, but that's been sort of the biggest killer from our viral world for quite some time. But all of a sudden, coinciding with, not coincidentally, the use of chemical pesticides and herbicides and the use of artificial colors and sweeteners and flavorings and irradiated, genetically modified and otherwise denatured and altered Frankenfoods, before we began toying with nature, there weren't that many emerging viruses, but think about it now. AIDS, SARS, the avian flu, the bird flu, swine flu, Ebola. In 1976, Ebola first reared its head. It happened in Zaire. One of my researchers reported to me near the Ebola River. And originally, there was a mild infection of a few individuals who went to a hospital, and from that original few, 318 eventually became ill because of the poor understanding of what they had encountered at the hospital. So the preponderance of all the original cases came from the hospital where Ebola was being treated. So, you know, when that happens in modern times, we have to say, you know, we have learned that lesson once already in 1976, you know, 25, 30 years ago, and we have to learn from it. So anyway, the point being that these emerging viruses have some type of trigger. There's something in common about them that's making them more prevalent and more able to affect humans. Because remember, they typically originate from animals. Example given. The swine flu. This is how the swine flu happens, in case you don't know. You have a sick, first let's go all the way over to Hong Kong, Taiwan, China. Always happens, typically happens from the east, where they have ducks and they have pigs that are raised together. And when you have ducks swimming in the water that pigs drink, the feces of the ducks get stuck in the throat of the pigs, which is 97 to 99 degrees. And it's warm and it's moist and it's the perfect petri dish for this bacteria to grow that does not affect the pig. And then when the pig farmer slaughters the pig, some of the blood that is rushing out of the throat splashes onto the pig farmer's skin. And the pig farmer gets a virus that came from the feces of a duck that was cultured in the throat of a pig. And not to digress, but kosher laws would prevent that from happening if everybody ate kosher, and I'm not proposing that. But if everybody ate kosher, there would be no flu. I could say the same if everybody ate a halal diet. There would be no flu. Because the most ancient religions and cultures disdain the consumption of pork for that very reason. So, again, the duck defecates in the water that is consumed by the pig, whose throat becomes a petri dish for the virus that was in the feces of the duck. Upon slaughtering, the blood, because they cut the throat and the blood comes out of the body of the pig, the blood splashes onto the body of the Chinese person, who then, not necessarily Chinese, Asian, because most of these flus come from Asia where they grow ducks and pigs together. That's nothing to do with racism or anything else. It is a cultural thing. That's the reason it happens. And then they become almost a carrier. They become almost immune to that virus because they're exposed to it so much. But then they go to the market and they shake hands and they have relations, and they then pass it to hundreds of people who eventually get onto planes and take it all over the world. Most of you may have known that. Some of you may have not. For those of you who didn't, now you do. You're listening to the Meet the Owners call. My name is David Sandoval. We are here to talk about survival in the era of emerging viruses, of AIDS and the avian flu and SARS and the bird flu and the swine flu and Ebola, and all of these indicators that we're not doing some things as good as we could be. So these flus, these viruses that come from animals, now some come from birds. You've heard of the avian flu or the bird flu. Remember, that is not dissimilar from the swine flu. It just takes a different biological pathway, but I don't need to bore you with every single biological pathway. I think you now get the idea. What do we need to know about Ebola? Well, the first thing is, don't panic. You know, these people on the news, I mean, responsible. In particular, I watched Fox News and saw a mild level of panic. But then I listened to some of the talk shows on the radio, and it was just insane. I guess the only way for them to get ratings is to try to scare us, and we will not be scared. We're not that weak. We're not that dumb. We were born at night, but it wasn't last night, and we're not going to put up with this anymore. They're not going to keep saying boo, and we're all going to run like cattle. Should we? Viruses, absolutely, all viruses. But I'm pretty sure that they've got Ebola contained. If it wasn't for an initial misunderstanding, several of them, which are unacceptable, it wouldn't have happened. But let's talk about it. How did it happen? Well, first of all, it happened because of a difference in the way that the disease is treated. You see, when treated properly in Africa, it is treated in outdoor facilities where the people are isolated physically from everyone else in a indoor-outdoor care facility. And because of that, the ability to separate yourself from the waste matter very easily by covering it with dirt or moving it. It doesn't have to be cleaned up and mopped off of a floor, which is, just think about it. Moving these bodily fluids, and I won't be too graphic, but they on the news said vomit and diarrhea repeatedly. Well, if you could simply remove the things and burn them a few feet away, as opposed to having to try to, you know, transport them and clean floors, etc., then it's just different. And so because of the way treating it in Africa, when it's done properly, is pretty effective. They've contained it 36 or 37 times. There's been outbreaks, and they have contained it each and every time. This last time was a little more difficult, for sure, and it's because of lax standards and because of people's rapid transportation and a desire to not the problem. Nearly 4,000 have died of Ebola, but remember, 25,000 have died of AIDS, and AIDS came after Ebola. AIDS emerged in 81, and 25,000 people died before we figured that one out. So with Ebola, 4,000 deaths, most of them in Africa, 99% of them in Africa. So let's not panic. Let's educate ourselves, and let's be diligent. But what are viruses? Do you know that viruses are parasites? Viruses are parasites, and they actually, think of a pirate ship. Think of a pirate ship that comes up next to another ship, and they get on their ropes, and they swing over. And when they first swing over, there's soldiers or sailors on the other side fighting them off, and so at first they don't get through, but then they just are relentless, and the pirates keep coming and coming, and eventually they break through the defenses, and they take over that ship. And do they burn that ship? No, they take it over. They put a captain, their own captain, at the helm of the ship. Well, guess what a virus does? It goes through, it pierces the armor of your cell, of your own cell, and it reprograms that cell, almost a little bit like cancer can. And so viruses invade cells, and then they replicate. And that's how they replicate, by hijacking your cells and making them virally infected cells. And so here's the thing you need to know. Your body can suppress viruses. In fact, you cannot kill viruses in the body. There's a lot of way to kill viruses outside of the body. But inside of the body, viruses are hiding in you. They're like, I hate to say this, they're like cockroaches. You could kill most of them, but there's always going to be a few left behind, and here's the reason why. Your spinal fluid. See, your spinal fluid is the one place that your immune system doesn't go, where it can't enter into. But the virus can. And even though there's not room for much virus, a little tiny bit of it could go and hide in your spinal fluid until the next time your immune system drops below a certain level of defense. And as soon as it knows that it can sneak out and get away with it, it does. From the very first virus you got when you were a baby to the virus you got last year, we're exposed to every virus you've ever caught, if you would, that replicated inside your body, is still in your body somewhere hiding. That's right. And the only way to keep those viruses at bay on some level, unless, of course, you have taken, you know, a specifically created vaccine. So right now they're taking antibodies from the survivors of Ebola. And remember, only 43% of people survive, but of those 43% who do survive, there are antibodies in their blood that they will turn into a vaccine. And that's how they're going to beat this. And they will. I'm sure that they will. But your body creates these antibodies, like I said, and it fights the virus, but those antibodies don't work inside of your spinal fluid. Okay? So what can we do about viruses? Well, there's a few things that I think you could do. Traditionally, throughout history, there were some pretty unusual things that people did, though, to try to fight viruses. I'd like to tell you about a few of them. You know how you've seen movies about vampires, and the vampires are like about to attack somebody, and they look and they've got a necklace of garlic, and there's this feeling that if you put garlic on your, like a garland of garlic on your door or around your neck, that somehow you'd ward off vampires. And the reason why that rumor or that urban legend came about is because people used to actually wear garlands and necklaces made of onions and garlic. And they'd put onions next to their bed, next to the beds of people who were sick with the plague. And for some reason, and this may be urban legend, but the legend says that if you had garlic and onions in the room of the person who was sick, that they would act like an air purifier and pull the virus into the onions so the people in the room wouldn't be infected. And that's how they're able to treat people without getting sick themselves. Maybe urban legend, maybe a rumor, maybe, you know, but I've heard it time and time and time again. And so I experimented with people who had the flu. I put an onion next to their bed, and sure enough, within 2 days, that onion had black growth under the skin. And that black growth had started to, to degrade the onion. And the onion from the same bag in the kitchen away from the sick person did not have that. That was really, really surprising to me. So I repeated the experiment. I want everyone to do it themselves. The next time someone in your house has a flu or a virus, a viral infection, I want you to put a couple of onions next to their bed and see if it doesn't happen within 2 days. It also, again, in some level, supposedly purifies air. I'm not giving this as medical advice by any means. It's at very least an interesting experiment. Also, believe it or not, I have some scientific validity for why chicken soup is something that can actually help you when you are sick. Does anybody want to hear that? You are listening to the Meet the Owners call. This is David Samuel. We're talking about emerging viruses, survival in the age of emerging viruses, in the age of AIDS and SARS and the avian flu, the bird flu, the swine flu, Ebola. What is going on and what can we do? Well, you know, there's some simple things that everybody knows. You wash your hands. Wash your hands and stop touching your face. Walk away from people who are coughing. Walk away from people who are sneezing. Don't be afraid to do that. I mean, why? Don't be afraid of insulting them. Coughers and sneezers, get yourself away from them. They're giving you an advertisement. I'm going to make you sick. If you are sick and you need to go in public, wear a mask. You know those masks don't help you if someone else is sick. They help you from spitting out your stuff into the air. That's right. They save the other people from you. That's the real reason you wear them. Wear a mask or stay at home. Thing that you really want to do. Now, here's something you may not know about. You could take coconut oil on a Q-tip and rub it inside of your nose and in your nasal passages. You could take it and you could also hold it in your mouth, and you could take a teaspoon or a couple teaspoons, even a tablespoon, hold it in your mouth for 20 minutes every morning, gargle with it, spit it out, then leave the residue in your mouth, and you coat the mucous membrane of the nose and the mouth with coconut oil. And coconut oil is sort of sticky, and when you inhale, the little particles, viruses, and other things have a good chance of sticking to coconut oil. And remember, the coconut oil is really, really cool for helping defend your body in that way. So if you're feeling dry and nasally because it's the wintertime and the heater's on, just coat your mucous membrane with a little coconut oil. I think you'll be really, really surprised. But let's get back to chicken soup. Chicken soup is full of an amazing phytochemical called hyaluronic acid. Now, hyaluronic acid is what makes our cells nice and plump because it is in cells and it pulls moisture into our cells. And when it pulls moisture into our cells, all the soluble nutrients that are in that moisture get pulled into our cells as well. And guess where hyaluronic acid is found in addition to our cells and our joints and ligaments? No animal on earth has more hyaluronic acid than our friend the chicken. And for the vegetarians and vegans, please don't be offended. I'm telling the story of chicken soup and its traditional healing power and where it comes from, and I promise to offer a vegetarian option when I'm done. When you boil the skin and bones of a chicken, it releases massive amounts of hyaluronic acid into the water. If you put a ton of vegetables into the water, like carrots and onions and garlic and bell peppers and spinach and different herbs, if you put all those into the broth, some cabbage and, and celery, put all of that into the broth, then that broth is going to be bound, all those nutrients are going to be bound to the hyaluronic acid. And when we drink that broth, even if we don't need the noodles, we don't need the meat, we don't need, at that point, even the vegetables themselves. We need only that broth. Because that broth will create an amazing impact on the cells by making them suck nutrients up as they rehydrate themselves. So that's the story of why chicken soup works, because of the hyaluronic acid. Now, guess what? There is hyaluronic acid that could be taken from things like there's a Japanese daikon carrot that has it, and there's other types of tubers that naturally contain it as well. But we have it in our line erasing syrup. You could actually put it directly on your face, and it comes from a vegetarian source, from a sweet potato that develops, that's in a desert, and it develops the hyaluronic acid to attract moisture to itself. As I said, hyaluronic acid is a moisture magnet. It transports water, and certain plants have developed a vegetarian form of hyaluronic acid that does the exact same thing that the chicken uses it for. So anyway, that's a little bit about hyaluronic acid, chicken soup, wrinkles even, which the hyaluronic acid is amazing at helping you eliminate. Now, I want to tell you that we're not just worried about emerging viruses like AIDS, SARS, the bird flu, the avian flu, the swine flu, Ebola, and all of this. There's other emerging problems like autism, Down syndrome, dementia, and Alzheimer's that are unprecedented levels. We have a problem with food, ladies and gentlemen. We need to build strong walls. Now, I promise there's just a couple of minutes left in the call, but I want to cover some of our products and how they could be used and what they are good for. So I want you to be patient with me. Give me 1 minute while I grab a quick sip of water, and then I'm going to give those of you who need to, want to, have to go away the opportunity to do so. But when we come back, I want to tell you some really interesting information about our red marine algae, our Immunomax, our Virusure, our coconut oil, even spirulina. I want to tell you some interesting information that I'm going to challenge you to do some research of your own and tell me what you think. Again, my name is David Sandwell. This is the Meet the Owners call, and I'll be back in 3 sips. Okay. So, give me 1 moment. Okay, y'all, you got about 10 more minutes for me. We can send this game into overtime.
Aloha!
Well, you guys are so good that most of you were probably muted to keep your background noise out, but I just looked and we've got about 500 people still on the line. So I think that that means that you guys want to hear a little bit more. So I want to tell you about some of our products, and here's what's happened. I've got so many calls, because there have been articles and rumors on the internet where people are talking about red marine algae showing promise for helping potentially with Ebola. And I have to say, that is not something that we'll repeat or say, because I read the articles, and it is a specific strain of red marine algae. It's not the strain of red marine algae that is in our products. It is simply a strain of red, and you can read that yourself. Remember, our strains are Gigartina and Dumontossier, and that's not the strain of red marine algae that is being used in this research. So I just want to caution people before they get overboard. There's a lot of different varieties of red marine algae. Remember, ours are Gigartina and Dumontossier, and we're the only company that mixes those together with spirulina. And, you know, if you want to go online and Google those, you could learn what they have been studied to do, and I think you'll be impressed. So the important thing to note is that certain plants, certain foods, certain lifestyles have the ability to slow down the rate at which viruses replicate. And if you could just slow down the rate at which viruses replicate, then your immune system has a much better chance. Remember, the reason why these infections took place was, you know, obvious, but the reasons why the infections that did not take place is not as obvious. Hundreds of people were put into quarantine, of which most have now been cleared, and the rest will soon be cleared, I'm confident. But the reason that they were being cautiously optimistic does not belie the truth of the virus. So imagine that you have a viral colony, and there's 3 or 4 viruses in your body. Well, there's very, very unlikely that those virus colonies are going to be on the surface of your body, in your spit or anything like that. Probably in your blood only. And so at that point, you know, your risk of exposure is very, very, very low, unless you're somehow exchanging bodily fluids in an intense way with this person. And that's unlikely. And so as you get sicker, though, those viral colonies grow from 3 to 3,000 to 300,000 to 3 million to 300 million to 3 billion. The sicker you get. And as such, they then spread around, become part and parcel of every bit of your body fluid, every ounce, every, you know what I mean? And so any part of your body fluid that takes, you know, that is a contact with someone else is going to be potentially deadly. That's why the symptoms, the fever, those things are so vitally important to monitor in this virus. And they're able to do that. The people who are exposed are doing intense self-monitoring. And the viruses are simply not available to be, you know, transmitted until that time. But that having been said, you know, we have had to put, there's been a little bit of a run on the Red Marine algae, so we have had to put a 2-bottle restriction because for whatever reason, people are still buying the Red Marine algae as a precaution. And, I mean, it's an amazing precaution, but I just want you to understand that it's not a precaution against Ebola. It's just a really nice immune-boosting food. And the reason why is because it has these sulfated polysaccharides. And sulfur is the type of compound you find in onions and garlic. I remember our story earlier. And polysaccharides are the type of things you find in aloe vera, noni, and things like that. And when nature mixes sulfur and a polysaccharide, it creates a very, very unique effect. And some studies have indicated that these sulfated polysaccharides, you know, could be extremely effective at helping your body's immune system. And you might want to, you know, read a little bit about that. In addition to that, as I said, coconut oil, just as a mucous membrane protector, very, very effective. And then, you know, if you do some research, I want you to literally look at our Virashore and our Immunomax. And I want you to do a little bit of your own research. Look at the ingredients in Virashore and Immunomax. And you're going to be blown away at some of the really amazing potential that these foods have at building natural immunity. Now, some people believe that building your immune system means stimulating your immune system, and that's simply not true. Stimulating your immune system is actually the wrong thing. The reason the bird flu kills you is because of something called a cytokine rush. Cytokines are white blood cells. They're a powerful immune system response. And the bird flu causes your body to create such a huge response that your body is loaded with cytokines. That's why it's called a cytokine rush. Because all the cytokines are rushing out to put out the fire. Here's the problem. Immune responses are inflammatory. Have you ever sprained your ankle and wondered why your ankle swells up? It's because you have this massive amount of cytokines that go to the area, and all of a sudden you see how red it looks. You know why it looks red? Because your capillaries are being stressed to the max. There's no good circulation there, so they say, put ice on it. Take down that inflammation so that your body can actually move blood through it. And then as it gets thick again, put ice on it again, so it'll go from hot to cold. And that slows down that cytokine rush, but the bird flu kills you because your whole body gets inflammation and your capillaries can't move blood and you die. So having a immune system that's stimulated is not a good idea. Having an immune system that's modulated is a brilliant idea. Modulating the immune system is having a lot of raw material for your immune system to do its job available in your body at all times. That's called eating a lot of really good foods and some of the herbs that I recommend. And also, having that immune system, or that immune response, upon need, react appropriately, as rapidly as necessary, but then recede equally as rapidly, without creating long-lasting inflammatory damage to the area. So our Immunomax and our Virashure are extraordinary, extraordinary. And I believe that every household should have them. I believe that our coconut oil and our aloe vera are extraordinarily effective at modulation, immune modulation, which is the key to rapid response. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story that you're probably never going to hear anywhere else, because this is a science that's still being understood and something I've been studying for like 20 years. It happened more than 20 years, I guess, about 22 years. It happened when we were harvesting green foods like wheatgrass and barley grass and washing them with, the best possible cleansers, which would be infrared light and ozone, you know, and there's no way that there could be any surface contamination on these. Then we would juice them, and we would test them again, and there would be E. coli. And we're like, there's no way there could be E. coli in here. And then we found out a dirty little secret, which is a brilliant little secret, the secret life of plants. E. coli 0157 is an E. coli that will kill you. The other E. coli don't even make you sick. But your body reacts to them as though they were 0157, and then they go, oh, never mind. I thought you were 0157. You're his harmless twin brother. And when you eat raw foods that have a lot of natural bacteria in them, those natural bacteria oftentimes mimic the very bacteria that are later perhaps you're going to encounter from the feces of an animal, or perhaps another human being. And when you're exposed to that type of E. coli, 0157, and your body has been eating a lot of raw, pure, organic food, your reaction time, your rapid response team in your body is supercharged and ready to roll. So that's not antiviral. That's not antifungal. That's not anti-anything. That is pro-strength, pro-immunity. And so when we're talking about how to survive, oftentimes it's the weak that perish. The very young, the very old, and the very weak. You read the statistics. That's who dies. Other than that, it's people who are directly exposed to a deadly virus, and that's extremely rare. So we don't panic. We eat organic. We take care of ourselves. We eat right. We wash our hands. We don't go out when we're sick. And maybe we play around with an onion. And we learn about Immunomax and VirusSure and coconut oil and aloe, and just look at how amazing they might be as tools in our quest to survive in the age of emerging viruses. So thank you very much, everybody. As is our custom, I want to know whether you were happy with tonight's call, so I'm going to unlock this and give us a chance to share that family moment that I love.
Thank you.
You're awesome, dude. You're awesome.
No, you guys are awesome. I
love you.
We have an amazing record day. You guys keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you.
Good night now.
Good night.